Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's Miller and Condon here on a Wednesday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller, talking sports with you over the next couple of hours on a busy Wednesday, the final day of the work week, with plenty of football and basketball in the days ahead. BMW Des Moines guest list looks like this. We will kick things off in about 15 minutes with our friend Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star. He covers Nebraska. We will preview the Black Friday Iowa-Nebraska tilt from the Nebraska perspective, with Sip coming up here at 10:15. Then Dave Sproul at the bottom of the hour. He covers Iowa State. Iowa State with a real test tonight against Xavier. We'll talk basketball. We'll preview Friday's game against TCU. That is a 3:30 kick at Jack Trice Stadium. Then we'll give Tom Cakert, give him his opportunity to come in here and talk about the Hawks and the Huskers from his perspective. Bama Bob, Trent, and I will go around college football to kick off hour number two. We'll give four of you an opportunity to win Claxon's Barbecue at 11:35 before our picks. And we say goodbye for the rest of the week and head off into our Thanksgiving long weekend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Excited. A lot of basketball last night. It's getting to be that time again. Iowa State, will get to see them really for the first time against a good team. Uh-huh. I know they played Oregon State. They were an Elite Eight team last year. They're also 14-12 right before the Pac-12 tournament. Right. So they made a great run in March, but it's still not a great team. This is a big step up in competition. Get to see Jack Nungy, the former Hawkeye, out there. So looking forward to that tonight. And a big weekend, of course, for Drake, as they'll be in a tournament down in Florida. They open up with Belmont, opportunity to play Alabama, who's ranked in the top 20. Also Kansas in that tournament.
Is that ESPN Plus, or is there TV?
There's TV, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And I know the Clones are on big ESPN tonight, are they not, at 6 o'clock?
Is that what it is? I thought it was ESPN U.
You know what? You could be right, Trent. You could be right. Yeah, you know, because I was watching Maction last night, and it was on ESPNU, and then I was flipping forward to see what they had tonight. I think you're right. I think it is ESPNU. Well, regardless, it's not on the iPad, so that's good news.
ESPNU.
Yeah, in the Miller household.
208 on DirecTV.
Indeed it is. Plenty of football. Looking forward to tomorrow's three games. Look, they're not the shiniest, but it's football after all. The Bears coaching situation continues to be a story.
Yes.
In Chicago. Man, Trent, I don't know what to think of it. You know, one minute I think, nah, there's no way they've done this right. The next minute I'm thinking, this is exactly what they're going to do.
A short week.
Yes.
The theory is, because it's a short week, that's why though Nagy knows that this is going to be his last game.
Now, did he, apparently, I saw a tweet that he canceled meetings yesterday. The Bears were due to meet, you know, the day before they get on a plane to go play the Lions.
Right.
And he's changing things up.
Oh, really?
I don't know what to make of it.
No.
Is this a bet against for you?
No. I don't think so. The Bears usually are a bet against for me, right, hedging my emotions with my bankroll. But yeah, overall, I don't think it impacts its pros.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have we seen teams step up in a spot that seems odd and weird and things like that? So no, it doesn't impact me as it pertains to a handicapping perspective. This Thanksgiving game, I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's so different.
Well, you see your team in it a lot, seemingly every other year.
Yeah, they kind of rotate through, and of course every other year it's the CBS game, and so you get, at times you get the AFC team that's in there, but yeah, it doesn't feel quite right. I can imagine being a Lions fan, this is kind of your Super Bowl every single year.
Absolutely, this is their opportunity to play in front of the country,
right.
The one opportunity. Yeah, and it's disappointing if you. I mean, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to be a Lions fan.
No,
I really couldn't.
Yeah,
I mean that team's just abysmal over the last, well, it's been a long time. But to see the building emptied out when the clock goes from the third to the fourth quarter,
right?
Everybody's headed home for Thanksgiving dinner. Stadium's empty, but well, hopefully we'll get a good game tomorrow. I thought we were going to get a good game last night in college basketball.
You did.
Settled in to watch UCLA and Gonzaga. Trent, this Gonzaga team, I watched a little bit of the Texas game, not enough to really form an opinion one way or another. But watch 30 minutes of the game last night. I mean, the game was decided. There's no sense sticking with it. Holy mackerel.
My biggest takeaway watching them now the last couple of nights, basically start to finish, Rasir Bolton's a really good fit for them.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, they have the stars, of course, the Drew Timmies and the Chet Holmgrens, and you got the guys that you're talking about. Nembhard was excellent again last night.
He's really good.
It's so crazy. That guy would have started for 340 college basketball teams last year.
Was it the sixth or seventh overall pick in front of him?
Jalen Suggs comes in and says, no, this is my job, and took it and ran with it to the national championship game. So he's a really good player. He transferred in from Florida, probably thought, but Suggs was already committed. That was kind of the other weird thing. But this team is loaded.
Yes.
They are absolutely loaded.
And you're right about Bolton. He fits in this team.
He does, because he got the reputation as a chucker. Played for a lot of bad teams.
Yeah, that, and you remember when he was bringing up the ball over the timeline, nobody was around him.
Oh, that bothered you so much.
Oh, my God. Talk about fundamental.
Guys make mistakes.
I know. I just
that bothered you so much.
I
think that's about the dozenth time you brought it up.
So you're saying I should get over it?
Well,
you're probably right.
I don't think that's going to happen with the Zags now.
Yeah.
And Mark Few continues to churn it out the way this program is built. And I know ultimately for so many people, they have to win it.
Mm-hmm.
They were minutes away to doing it against Villanova. Not the case last year. Baylor just absolutely throttled
them. It wasn't even a game.
But you think of that. You think of the NCAA tournament and how difficult it is. And they played in two national championship games. The narrative, the WCC doesn't prepare. Stop. This is a great program. And they're going to be there once again this season.
They get Duke on Friday.
Yes. How about that?
Trent, I've got to stop. I'm developing a real problem. And it's, 9:30 rolls around and the extracurricular activities are in full swing.
I know what that is.
Yeah. I can't stop betting futures. So I'm watching the game last night. I'm thinking, who's going to beat this team?
Okay, yes.
Right?
And I've heard that many mornings the next day after games. You're very reactionary.
I am.
Kind of.
And sadly, now I can react with my own money.
Right.
Betting. So I'm shopping around, and you and I both love Circa, but we speak on behalf of DraftKings. Mm-hmm. DraftKings had a better price.
That's what you do.
That's what you do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you've got a number of apps on your phone, whether it be, in my case, I have BetRivers, I have DraftKings, and I have Circa, I shopped around, and DraftKings had the better odds on Gonzaga. I'm thinking, you know what? If this keeps going the way that it is, and good God, after what I'm watching tonight, the odds are just going to go down. Get them while you can.
Which makes sense. The problem, though, is I know you've done...
You're getting hurt.
What happens when you do in the NFL, and you got eight teams now?
I think it's probably right around eight, yeah.
You have Super Bowl futures on. So whatever you make, it's not going to be what you, quote-unquote, would have made.
No. I'm hedging.
And on top of it, you got a bunch of teams that are pretty crappy.
Yeah, the Colts...
They played really well last week.
The Chargers.
Guess when Ken bet them?
Yeah, Sunday Night Football. I'm watching the Chargers. And oh my God, this Justin Herbert's something, right? You know what? Why not take a shot? 25-1, give me some of that. It's I've got to do? I've got to put my phone in another room.
Put a lock on it?
Yes, and just stay away from it.
Not allowed to bet after 8:30.
That should be a rule in my house.
I'm the same way. If I have a couple of cocktails in me, I am terrible drinking better. I am bad at it. I, for the most part, though, have stopped that. And if it is, I'll put together a stupid parlay that's never going to hit, and I just put a couple bucks on it.
Yeah.
Because if I go out there, and that's the other thing, too. Get a couple cocktails in you, you're feeling good.
Right.
And a normal unit's $11. Let's put 50 on this. That's where I am the same way. Get into trouble, get a couple drinks in me, and all of a sudden, oh, crap, I made that bet? I don't even remember making that bet. Those are bad nights.
Well, I haven't been to that point
yet. Okay, good. I've been there before.
Well, maybe if I was your age, I might be at that point, but I got to watch myself now. I'll be 63 next month. 63.
Did you carry the one?
Yeah, I think 63. Anyways, real quick, the playoff rankings came out again last night. Cincinnati's clawed their way into it.
They have, yep.
Do they stay? Let me run this scenario, but this is a credit where credit's due. This is Pollux.
Okay.
I think it was him, yeah. So Alabama wins the SEC.
All right. Convincingly? Or?
They win the SEC.
28-24. Okay.
Ohio State wins.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State wins the Big 12.
Yes.
Where would you put Georgia? Cincinnati gets through the... They win their AAC. They win the yep. American.
And Ohio State...
is two.
Clubs? Whoever. Michigan and Wisconsin?
Yes. Ohio State wins.
By two scores at
right,
least in each
right.
of those games. Ohio State's one.
Yep.
Alabama's two.
Yep.
Oklahoma State's three.
Then what do you do with Georgia?
Georgia's four.
What do you do with Cincinnati?
They're out.
Yeah.
They're out. I think 12-1 Oklahoma State gets the bid
mm-hmm.
over 13-0 Cincinnati.
So you don't see this as an Oklahoma State-Cincinnati debate?
It could get... I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. I'm talking more about the seeding process uh-huh. that they're going to try to set up. They don't want a rematch of Alabama.
No, they do not.
And I don't think they want...
I don't think we do. You know, and if they manipulate it to avoid that,
mm-hmm.
Okay, I know what you did.
Right.
And I understand it, and you made the right decision.
How far does Georgia drop in that scenario?
I think you got to keep them in.
Oh, absolutely, they're in. They deserve it.
They've been number one entire year.
Just because their loss happened to be in December.
The final, yeah, on December the 4th or 5th, whatever it is.
That shouldn't be as impactful. Mm-hmm. I know they don't have a conference championship, and that matters more to uh-huh. some than others, but I don't think that should be a deciding factor. A 12-1 Georgia, look at their resume compared to
right.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
A 13-0 Cincinnati. It's still not close.
Right.
What they've done. And Georgia... admittedly, has put together about as good of a conference schedule as you can have in the SEC. I mean, the East has been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Their crossovers were not overly difficult in comparison mm-hmm. to what it could be. And because of that, you say, I don't think you can draw up a better SEC schedule than what they had this year. So you kind of put all those things together. You can poke some holes in Georgia. So much of this is going to depend on and the reactionary nature of where we are, how these games play out.
Mm-hmm.
If it's hair on fire, if it's an ugly performance, if... 17-16, Ohio State just slides by Wisconsin, that's going to matter.
Yeah.
Same thing here. If Alabama throttles Georgia, then the conversation changes. Same thing the opposite way. Alabama, I still think there could be a possibility with two losses if it's a tight one.
Have you seen the point spread? It's 4.5.
4.5?
Georgia favored 4.5.
But we're talking about blowouts. Blowouts
right,
one
right.
way or the other, or tighter games that you anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Oklahoma State. I think style points are going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just get a couple of tight victories. I think they're going to have to win one of these next two games, probably by a couple of touchdowns, maybe more than that. A blowout will go a long way. And even Cincinnati. You know, if they do, they beat East Carolina this week, they're favored by 2 touchdowns. And they... again, don't look great, only win it by 10, 34-24. And then they struggle but beat Houston. That's going to matter, too. That's all part of the narrative.
You know what else they've got in their favor, and they're going to need help? They need Clemson to win the Atlantic. And they've got the tiebreaker over Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And we go back to game one. Remember how important we thought Georgia-Clemson was on,
sure.
on Labor Day weekend, and that was a 10-3 football game as mm-hmm. it ended up? If Clemson somehow... who does Wake Forest have this weekend?
Wake Forest has Boston College at BC.
So that's no layup.
No, not at all.
That's a game that... so if point being, if Clemson plays for an ACC title, and there's still a big chance that they will, mm-hmm. that would help Georgia if indeed they lost a football game.
They also need Carolina to beat NC State on Friday.
When is that game, by the way?
Friday
is it
evening.
It's 6 o'clock?
Yeah, something
right?
like that.
That'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be good. Sets up. Clones should be wrapping things up by, well, a little bit after that. After that point. Well, it's... don't have to tell you. There's not as much football to be played as when we started to say there's a lot of football still to play. But nonetheless. Anyways, let's get Stephen M. Sipple in here from the Lincoln Journal Star. We'll line up Sip, talk to him, get his perspective on this game, which clearly... you know, took a little bit of a blow when Adrian Martinez, who's, you know, starts all those games for Nebraska. I'm anxious to see the backup, Smothers. He had a lot of offers, as Trent mentioned yesterday on the show, a ton of offers. But there, look, there's a reason why he was the backup, and it was Martinez's job. But we'll see. Iowa still got a big opportunity here. And the good news about it, if they get the game, if they get the win on Friday, they get home and sit in front of their TV and root like hell for the Gophers. Root like hell for the Gophers to beat Wisconsin, and I don't think that that's without the realm of possibility. Wisconsin's defense is elite. They're running the football way, way better. than they were earlier in the season. That's because the offensive line is coming around. But Minnesota can pop up every now and then. We saw them get beat, too. I mean, Illinois embarrassed them, for crying out loud, a couple of weeks ago. But Iowa beats Nebraska on Friday, turns the TV on, watch the Gophers, and Wisconsin play, and root like hell for Minnesota. Chicken Coop sponsors our friend Stephen M. Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star. Sip, Trent and Ken, thanks for coming on. Sip, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. You know, disappointed Martinez isn't going to be able to answer the bell. When you got the, when Frost broke the news, and I'm assuming he did break the news, right? I don't think any of the Husker media was on the scent of that. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was that the case that he broke the news, or did you guys expect that?
Oh, no, we were on the scent. I mean, I told our guys, we're probably going to have pretty big news on the quarterback front.
Oh, okay.
I was hearing it at 7 in the morning on Monday, and I asked Scott at the press conference. I was surprised nobody asked him by the time I got around to me. But anyway, no, we had heard that there was he had probably a season-ending shoulder issue that required surgery. It was kind of weird, though, because he did it in the first half of Wisconsin and then played the second half through it. You know, he played through the injury, which, you know, there's different ways that a guy can do that. Mm-hmm. He gutted through it, and it was not easy. I don't imagine it was easy at all.
So help me out there. We're going to see Logan Smothers, and this guy Trent mentioned yesterday had a number of opportunities to play college football at different schools and big-name schools and chose Nebraska. We've seen him we saw him, I think, in their game against Wisconsin, when Martinez got his helmet knocked off, he had to come in. I think it was one play. What kind of quarterback is he, Sip? What do you expect out of Logan Smothers on Friday?
Okay, so what Iowa fans will see is someone that's appeared in 5 games at Nebraska. He's a 2020 freshman. It's hard to – these classifications are kind of weird. He's still technically a true freshman. He is smaller, you know. I don't know what they list him as, but he's pretty small. I'd say 6 foot, 190. He's smaller guy than Adrian. Adrian's a big quarterback, 6'2", 220. Now Smothers, what we know about him is he's a good runner. He's fast, shifty runner. He can cause Iowa problems that way for sure. He's a quick decision maker. He's a heady kid. He doesn't, you know, the issue with him, or the thing that people have wondered about the most, is his ability to throw it downfield. Doesn't have a real strong arm. Doesn't have a weak arm, but it's not, you know, he's. It'll be interesting to see how Nebraska handles this against an Iowa team that I think I read in the Des Moines Register has 11 different guys with picks. Is that correct?
There's been a bunch.
Yeah,
I don't think.
Yeah, 11 different.
If Lysakow wrote it, I'll believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I mean, come on, that's a lot. That's a lot to ask of it. I don't know what you do game plan wise. It was fascinating. If you guys watched the Wisconsin game, fascinating. Nebraska attacked Wisconsin through the air and got 452 yards. Threw it 35 times. Ran it 35 times. I just don't think you could do that with Logan Smothers. He's not that type of quarterback. Not in terms of being he's not that type of thrower.
Is he the future? Is he the guy that people anticipate is going to become the heir apparent and he'll take over for Martinez? Or, as there talk, we need to hit the transfer portal, we need to be looking around. I know there's a lot of talk about looking maybe down to Oklahoma for a quarterback next year. What's kind of the scuttlebutt at the future of the quarterback position?
Well, this is where he can make his case. I think that it'd be unfair to say he's not the future. I mean, you do hear some of that. I mean, whether he's the future or not, I do think they're going to have to go into the transfer portal, because right now, as we speak, they have 2 scholarship quarterbacks, and they're both freshmen. Okay. So the portal might make sense no matter what, but you know, if I'm Logan Smothers, I think what I would be doing is viewing this as a prime opportunity to stamp myself as the next guy. And then, you know, there's always seems like there's natural skepticism maybe in any fan base about, I don't know, it's a weird conversation here. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of confidence in Logan Smothers, but I'm not altogether certain why. Some of it stems from the fact they've been hesitant to go to him when Adrian is hurt. I mean, Adrian has played through a high ankle sprain, a broken jaw, and then, you know, he had clicking in his shoulder at halftime of the Wisconsin game. And I don't know, I've never had clicking in my shoulder, but that doesn't sound like a good deal. So some of it's that. I mean, people just read into it and say, man, they're just not, they just must not be very confident in the backup. But here we are, game 12, and Logan Smothers is the guy. And I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I want to see what it looks like.
Sip, I watched the Wisconsin game last week. I was surprised that Wisconsin did as much damage offensively as they did. Look, we know Braylon Allen's going to be a star, I think. I mean, this kid's what? Is he still 17 years old, Trent? I mean, still 17
yeah,
years old,
him.
Which is crazy. And he ran for over 200 against what we both thought was a pretty good Huskers defense. Even Graham Mertz got into the act. He had one of his better days throwing the football. What happened? What happened to the Nebraska defense against Wisconsin, Sip?
Well, I guess this is where I can add a bit of information. I mean, some of it is, listen, everybody's banged up this time of year, but people, I think, need to understand that JoJo Doman did not play. He's probably their best defensive player. Second best defensive player did not play. Deontay Williams, he's a safety. JoJo's an outside linebacker, nickel. Damian Daniels, their starting nose tackle, played only 11 plays and couldn't go.
Okay.
Caleb Tanner, their starting outside linebacker slash rush end, went down early in the game and was out. And they were without Feldarius Payne, who's played outside linebacker either starting or in the main rotation all year. Five guys. So some of it's that, and they're playing a couple guys. One of their inside linebackers is really not himself because of injuries. He's gutting it through. Again, I don't want to use that too much as an excuse because any team in America is going to say, well, you think that's a bad deal? Well, here's our situation.
So what about Friday, Sip? Will any of those guys be able to play Friday?
Well, I'm really – JoJo's out. JoJo's had surgery.
Yeah.
Deontay Williams, I thought, might – give it a go against Wisconsin. He's big. He's a big-time safety. I mean, I think he's a big-time safety. He's their, like I say, I think he's their second-best defender. He's maybe. Damian Daniels, it's unclear. Caleb Tanner, I would doubt, would play. Darius Payne is a possibility. So you might get a couple of those guys back. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a ragtag unit right now. It's good. It's a good defense. But I was surprised, like you, that they were able to do what they did. Wisconsin was able to run at Nebraska like that. That Braylon Allen was averaged 10.4 yards per carry.
Jeez.
I did not see that coming. They've been good defending the best running backs in the Big Ten. Really good defending. I mean, they kept Trevion Henderson under 100, and they held that kid at Michigan State, Walker. I mean, 60 something. I was a little taken aback by that too.
Sip, there's not going to be a game next week, but I can't quit you. I just can't.
Oh, that's fine. Let's
put a bow on the season next week at some point. Okay, we'll just and we'll get your take on the Big Ten championship game as well. Happy Thanksgiving, Sip. We really appreciate what you do for us all season long. Thank you, my friend. Good to talk to you for over a couple of decades, and we'll talk next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh,
it's always
fun, and thank you both for having me. It is fun, and let's talk next week.
Okay? All right, pal. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thanks,
take
Sip.
Care. Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, Chicken Coop, three locations, Urbandale, Ankeny, and in West Des Moines, Ashworth and 60th. Good with that? We got to have a sip once more, don't we?
Of course, yeah. Because we got to get the rainbows and sunshine for 2022. Here they come.
So, did you hear rumors about an Oklahoma quarterback transferring to Lincoln?
Yeah, Rattler...
Yeah.
When he lost the job.
So this isn't recent.
Gotcha. There was a lot of scuttlebutt about that, and it makes sense. And,
yeah.
maybe because he's from Arizona, and maybe there might have been a plane ride from Scott Frost down there. There's all kinds of, you know, it's message board and Twitter and everything else.
Yeah.
All kinds of different things that are out there, but pretty good landing spot, right?
It would seem to make sense to me if there's anything to that smoke. Well, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will switch gears. Let's do Iowa State with Dave Sprouse. Xavier tonight, Jack Nungy and Xavier. You said it yesterday, and I thought about it, not constantly, but a couple of times.
I like that I'm in your head.
Well, this is an entirely different Iowa team with him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Yes, they're an NCAA tournament team, and Jack Nungy stuck around. And nothing against the kid. He lost his dad.
Oh, yeah. No.
Getting close to... This is a lot different.
Sure.
Remember our conversations with C.J. Frederick?
Yeah.
And our conversations with Jack Nungy.
Right.
They were two completely different circumstances.
Certainly understood.
Yes.
One of them more than the other. It's 10:27. Dave Sprouse, KASI in Ames. We'll talk Iowa State with him next. Tom Kakerd on the Hawks at about 10:45. Klaxon's Barbecue in an hour and 10 minutes. Four of you will get a chance to win Klaxon's Barbecue. 3131 8th Street Southwest in Altoona. We're Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Road in Urbandale.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Caller during the break, Duggan from Council
Max
Bluffs.
Duggan, I've been talking about that for a month plus.
Yeah, that makes some sense. That would make some sense.
A lot of Iowa State connections also there.
Yes, indeed. We shall see. Hey, before we get Dave Sproul in here, I meant to do this right at the beginning of the show. So cool to see Dickie V back on
that was
broadcast
great. Yeah.
Last night, right?
How emotional he was.
It really was. Yeah. And, it's hard not to watch that and get caught up, quite honestly. And I mean, this guy did the first ever college basketball game on ESPN.
Yeah.
The first ever. And still going strong. Well, he's still going at it.
Yes. I'm a Dickie V guy.
How could he not be, right?
Maybe there were times that...
The act wore a little thin.
Yes.
Right.
But at the end, much like I was with Madden, I know a lot of people, oh boy.
Corso.
Yeah. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him out there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Dave Sproul joins the program, KASI. 1430 on the AM dial in Ames, Story County. Dave, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Before we get into Iowa State, I saw you were at Minneapolis. You were at the bank to watch the Packers and the Vikings. I'm sure you've seen this, Dave. Boy, this is a scary episode with Everson Griffith. Mental health, it's such a... an affliction, a disease that we don't have a grasp of, right? I don't think the grasp that the world should have. And he had an episode apparently last night, and by the sounds of things, he's safe. The police are there. The Vikings know about it, but not the first time, sadly, that he's had this this type of episode in his life. And boy, oh boy, you just root for them to get through and get help and reach out when needed.
Yeah, absolutely. I missed that news overnight, so I don't know much about that situation, but keep my fingers crossed for the best for him.
Absolutely. So what was the game like? It was as entertaining a football game with no dog in the fight. Whether the Packers won or the Vikings fan, I didn't care, but boy, I was into that football game. It was entertaining as hell. Two of our, quote, regional teams putting on a hell of a show.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch, and I hate to admit it, but, man, Aaron Rodgers can do some incredible things on the football field, and he did some against the Vikings. And to watch the way he plays is kind of fun if it's not against your favorite team, like it was for me on Sunday. But, you know, Justin Jefferson making some plays, Adam Thielen making some plays. That was fun to watch as well, and just to have a little entertaining back-and-forth kind of game like that, that was really cool to see.
Dave, the Vikings are a talented team. You're a fan. You're still waiting to see a Super Bowl win, something, well, nobody has seen, four losses way back in the day. So as you look at this team, how close that they are, yet seemingly still a ways away, what's it like, the life as a Viking fan? I'm a Minnesota sports fan for everything but the Vikings, but I keep an eye on it very, very closely. My wife, most of my family are Vikings fans. It's got to be a tough existence.
It ain't easy, I'll tell you that much. I grew up in the Twin Cities, and my dad had season tickets dating back to the 70s, and we went to the last game at Old Metropolitan Stadium together when I was a wee lad, and I practically grew up in the Metrodome, and I saw a lot of heartbreak there, and also saw it on my TV from time to time, too. And, you know, if I have any amount of grit or toughness in me, it's because I survived those traumatic experiences as a child, of course.
Well, let's get to Iowa State TCU this week. The curtain will come down on the regular season. 7-5 should they win the football game. They're a 14.5 point favorite to do so. But I think the biggest story is not on the scoreboard, which we expect to go Iowa State's way. The biggest story is the class that they're going to say goodbye to. And I'm struck, Dave, how many Iowa State fans are clearly emotional, at least coming across like that on Twitter in advance of Friday's game. This is a group of players that clearly means something to Cyclone Nation.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of these guys who are seniors now were immediate impact guys as freshmen, or in terms of like Greg Eisworth in defensive backfield, he transferred in from junior college as a sophomore, but he kind of came in with the rest of this group. And from day one, Brock Purdy, Mike Rose, Greg Eisworth, some of the other guys in this class, they've been there. And, you know, Purdy got his opportunity as a freshman to come in and just absolutely took the reins of that quarterback position and never let go. Mike Rose, the starter from day one for the Cyclones. So Iowa State fans have seen these guys play a lot. And during the course of time, you know, yeah, you establish a pretty emotional connection if you're a fan. Even if guys are there short term, I mean, Tyrese Haliburton played basketball for a year and a half at Iowa State, and fans love him to death. And, you know, guys who've been around 4 and 5 years now, who we've seen become some of the best players in Iowa State history at their various positions, yeah, of course, there's going to be that kind of emotional attachment. And it's going to be, I'm sure, a very emotional crowd that shows up on Friday.
Rumors continue to swirl about the possibility of Matt Campbell looking at another job. There's so many big ones out there and a lot of really good jobs. There's going to be a trickle-down effect. Anything at all that you're hearing, anything, a possibility that maybe this year, because of that big class that'll be departing, he's maybe more willing to listen, or is it still everything that he's said in the past still ring true to you, Dave?
Sources indicate to me that he's not taking the Penn State job, so I go with that.
Yeah. That's a good source, really, by the way. That's a really good source. Keep that one.
Yeah, that's good reporting on my part. Other than that, I mean, there's no certainties at all, as we know. Matt Campbell has never said, you know, definitively, anytime that his name has come up in the rumor, yes or no. And, you know, the one thing he said definitively earlier this year was when he was asked if he was contacted by TCU, and the answer was a definitive no, because he could be dead honest about answering that question. Now, if the question was, are you interested in TCU or are you interested in any other? He can put together a pretty good roundabout sentence to avoid directly answering those kind of questions and still leave you with the feeling that he's going to stay at Iowa State. So I don't know. I mean, there's a theory that I kind of hold in my head, and others do too, that with this big class, all these guys who came in early in his tenure and bought into his program early after a 3-9 season and have helped see it through to a Big 12 championship game and a New Year's Six Bowl. And, you know, he could go out with that big graduating class, some players that he's very, very close to personally, and maybe move on from there. There might be some truth to that, or he could really be that guy who wants to be at Iowa State for the long term and kind of become, you know, Bill Snyder type figure. Who knows? The opportunity here and now with so many big openings might just be tempting enough that the opportunity to win national championships and make big, big money doing it might be too much for him to turn down at this point. Or maybe he's a lifer at Iowa State. Honestly, I think it's anybody's guess at this point.
No, I'm with you. And I think that Trent and I, in our conversation earlier in the week, we both felt that, you know, if there was ever a time because of that class that's going to walk out the door, that this would be the time. And like you say, all those big jobs at big, big name schools, we shall see. Hope he stays. Wouldn't be surprised if he listens. Maybe this is the time. Basketball tonight, Dave. I'm anxious to watch this team. And as we said back in November when it became apparent that, don't look now, basketball season is here, that to me it's all about watching this team try to come together and TJ trying to develop his type of player and the type of ball that he he wants his team to play. And I think we've already seen that, certainly on the defensive end of the ball. I don't have any visions at all that they are going to contend for the top of the Big 12. I think it's a long shot if they compete to play in a tournament, a postseason tournament at the end of the season, not named the Big 12 tournament. But it's about taking steps towards, you know, toward the future this year. Here's a big opportunity tonight to test themselves against a decent basketball team. What do you expect, Dave?
Yeah, I don't know much about Xavier, but I think they could be considered better than decent and certainly the toughest test by far Iowa State has faced so far. All due respect to Oregon State, turns out isn't actually that good. The big thing to watch for me will be if they can just stay competitive and keep themselves in this game tonight and give themselves a chance to win in the late stages. They might find themselves a bit overwhelmed just physically and from a more experienced team that has, you know, been together longer and has been with their coach longer and probably is more talented, you know, on the surface. But if they compete for 40 minutes, play that kind of hard defense, maybe turn some defense into offense, and maybe the shots keep falling like they did Sunday, they're going to definitely give themselves a chance to win. But stay competitive, you know, keep this within maybe even single digits. I don't want to get into moral victory territory, but I think if they could stay within single digits of a team like Xavier, that's a pretty good outing for them. Mm-hmm. And if they can keep up the kind of energy they showed in Hilton Coliseum and take that with them outside of Ames for the first time this season, that'll be a good sign as well.
Happy Thanksgiving, Dave Sproul. Thanks for doing this for us. We'll talk with you next week.
Back at you guys. Thanks so much.
Good to talk to you, Dave Sproul. KSI 1430 on the AM dial. We'll take a timeout. Tom Cakert coming up. Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.81. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. About 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock, hour two. Trent, Bama Bob, and I will go around college football, Claxon's barbecue giveaway, as well as our picks before we get out of here just before noon. Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com, joins the program. Hello, Tom Cakert. Happy Thanksgiving. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys and all your listeners. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Likewise, appreciate the fact that you're willing to do so. So, Tom, off you'll go to Lincoln on Friday morning to watch the finale, potentially a 10-2 football team. Does it feel like a 10-2 team? I mean, I know they are what the record says they are, and they've got a really good opportunity to be 10-2. Do they feel like 10-2 to you?
You know, I was looking at that this morning, actually, right, my game preview, and just that they have a chance to be the fourth team in the Ferentz era to have a 10-win regular season. And of those three other teams, this one is clearly probably the worst one, right, of that bunch, the 02, 09, 2015. This one just doesn't seem to but they're doing it in classic Ferentz fashion, right? The game last week is just another example of it, where they score a touchdown on offense, on defense, and special teams, mm-hmm. and they have a field goal kicker who makes four field goals. That's Kirk Ferentz football in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Charlie Jones, real quick on him, who scored that special team, and boy, did they need it at the time. It seemed like a game changer when he cut it to 14-7. He hasn't come out. I believe him and Riley Moss have left the door open to return. Any info there, Tom?
Nothing firm yet, but I think there's a chance. I think, especially with Riley, I think Riley's going to probably get some NFL feedback, see where that sits, mm-hmm. You know, because I think he's at least got a shot there. But I think he wants to see that and then go from there. So I think there's a probably better than 50% chance that both of them come back next year.
Huh, and Taylor's already said he's coming back.
Yeah, that's
which is huge news.
Big step forward. This has been overall a pretty young team. Defensive line, I thought, took a big step forward last week against Illinois, and they're going to have to do it this week with Nebraska. Much more limited, it looks like, at least on paper, in the passing game with Smothers out there at quarterback. Tom, this young defensive group, I don't know if there's a star. I don't know if they're...
Logan Lee.
All right, Logan Lee. That's a guy you know well, Tom, from over in your area. Can he become a star? Not just a bunch of really good players. And who, amongst them, Devontae Craig, could he be that guy off the edge? When you look at the young guys, who's got a chance to take yet another step in the future?
That's a great question. And I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I love Logan Lee. Logan Lee's probably more Matt Kroll than he is.
Yeah, that's good. Yep.
You know, if you're kind of doing those things, they got, you know, the guy that I really liked, here's the star guy, I think, is Lucas Van Ness. I think he's just he's a problem. and the other guy that got hurt earlier this year that I really like is Ethan Herkett. He's just a motor that just runs hot all the time. So it's going to be interesting this year. One of the things, you guys will get a kick out of this, so we always look at the Pro Football Focus things for the year. The Nebraska left tackle, Turner Cochran, has a grade of like 29.8 for this season. I mean, not good.
No.
Not good. You know, it's going to be interesting what this game looks like, because it's just, it's, you know, they're different. You know, we don't know what Nebraska is without Adrian Martinez. We just don't.
That's a great point, because we haven't. Well, we'll find out on Friday. And Tom, for that reason, I mean, if Adrian Martinez was going to play, I thought this was going to be a tricky spot. I did. I mean, it's their last game of the year. It's the rivalry. They'd love to, you know, to pop any. Granted, they're not a long shot, but they need some help. But to burst that bubble, if you will. I think that they end up 10-2 after this game. Their leader's not going to be there, other than on the sidelines in street clothes. And we saw what. But look, I'll get your take on this. I thought Nebraska's defense was trending in the right direction after the last few years, and yet Wisconsin, they ran right through them. They ran around them. They threw the ball. I mean, Mertz was okay throwing the ball last week. What happened to the Huskers? Sip said they had a bunch of guys out, and we spoke with them earlier. But I was surprised that Wisconsin was as good offensively last week.
Yeah, I think Sip probably hit it on the head that it was, you know, the Daniels kid in the middle. When he went out, it seemed like, you know, just based on what I've talked to some Nebraska guys, that their defense really kind of suffered once he went out, especially in the middle. And then, you know, Wisconsin's just clicking. Here's the thing with Martinez. You know, he started three other times against Iowa, and all three of those games were into the fourth quarter, one-score games. I mean, two of them had to be decided on last-minute field goals. So he really played well. You know, I know people kind of think, well, he gives the ball away. You know, Iowa would have been an advantage. He's played well against Iowa. He really has. So, you know, having him out, you just kind of think Phil Parker's licking his chops with a quarterback making his first start.
Yeah, and one that sounds like he's pretty limited what he can do throwing the football. Yeah, you make a team one-dimensional, and that's Phil Parker right up his alley. Over to some basketball, unless Kenny had anything else on the football front.
Go ahead.
It's nothing on Friday. I mean, they play another cupcake. They'll throttle Portland State, and then we'll start to know. Monday, it's Virginia. This is not a vintage Virginia team. You think of what Tony Bennett's done with this program over the last 7-8 years. They are a step back from that. Got an ugly win against Providence the other night. But it's a road trip. Going to be the first team with the pulse. Where this Iowa team, 5 games in, are they ahead of schedule?
I think they are. I think they've looked better than I thought they would. Especially, you know, the fact that they've played the last couple games. And I get it. It's Alabama State. It's Western Michigan, but I thought they might have little bumps in the road without Patrick McCaffrey out there, because he is probably their second best player, and they haven't missed a beat, and they've got contributions. The bench is starting to develop with Tony Perkins shooting the ball well, playing well. Peyton Sanford playing really well, I think. Aaron Ulis playing well. The big question is going to be, you know, December 3rd and December 6th, they're going to have to find something in the post. You know, and Zach Edey and Williams and Kofi Coburn are around you. You got to have some post defense, and that's going to be the challenge.
What have you seen so far in the Big Ten, Tom? At the top, anyways, when we both watched Illinois, Trent and I, the other night, I mean, they're not good. Now, they did bounce back and win last night. But what are your thoughts on the top of the Big Ten? As deep as you thought it was, at least early in the year?
No, I don't think the league's very good, to be honest. I really don't. I think it's a lot of average teams right now, except for Purdue.
Yeah.
I think Purdue's special. I think Purdue is Final Four good. But Maryland's, you know, they lost to George Mason. Everybody thought they might be a good team. Michigan, you know, the Arizona team's really good, but Michigan just hasn't looked great at all. The five-star kid, Caleb Houston, hasn't looked great. Rutgers lost to Lafayette the other night. Everybody was kind of pumping them up a little bit earlier in the year. Ohio State struggled. Michigan State is You know, they're mm-hmm. not great. I just think the league's kind of average right now. Although Wisconsin did have a good win last night against Houston. So, you know, that Davis kid looks pretty good.
Virginia, then it's, of course, the two conference games, Iowa State after that. From what you've seen, is this team an NCAA tournament team?
Potentially, just because I think the Big Ten's down, but okay. You know, they're going to have to probably go. You know, I'm looking at KenPom, and KenPom has them 12-8 in conference, mm-hmm. which would get that. That's an NCAA tournament team. Yep. If they're 12-8 in league play. They're going to go to the tournament. Hey, the other tricky game, guys, and Trent might be on this already. The Utah State team is pretty good, and that's going to be a tricky game at the Pentagon. In December, because Utah State just won one of those exempt tournaments and beat Oklahoma in that game.
How about that? Tom, back to football for a second. So let's say Iowa gets the win on Friday, and then the TV sets in Eastern Iowa will all be watching Minnesota and Wisconsin. I give Minnesota a shot in this football game. Now, it's without a doubt, Wisconsin is playing their best football of the year at the right time. But we've seen Minnesota do stranger things, right? Just when we don't expect them. I mean, we watched them lose to Illinois, for God's sakes. Would you fall off your chair if the Gophers beat Wisconsin?
No, wouldn't at all. Think it's possible. Here's the thing. I and I know Iowa fans get mad at me, but I'm like, you really want to go to Indianapolis and face Ohio State? Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to get in front of that bus right now.
Yeah, it's rolling, no doubt. Hey, Tom, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for doing this for us. We will talk with you next Friday. Thank you, Tom Kakert.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Good to talk to you. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com, as we wrap up our numero uno. We'll be back with Bama Bob, Klaxons, picks. Hour number two, Miller and Condon, 106.3 KXNO. It's next.